gone, Brother Destry and Miss Amber have been gone for a couple of weeks and just vacation. I mean, they've taken vacation nearly every year since they've been here, but sure seemed like they were gone a long time. Good to have them back. Brother Destry will be preaching tonight, and so for those of you who showed up this morning because you thought he'd preach, we'll come back tonight. And you'll be right. Wednesday night we have that missionary, and we have been studying Bible history on Wednesday night, but this Wednesday night we have a missionary going to China. That's an exciting field. You remember our missionary that we support in China, just about a month and a half ago, they literally walked into his church and shut it down while they were having church, and told them they could not meet any longer. Of course, they did just what you would expect. They went into little house churches and began to meet in each other's houses and stuff. The last report we got from him, they're actually looking for another place to just start up again. And that's what you do. Of course, the danger is that the next time they walk in, they may just put him out of the country. Right. And you follow that danger. They could actually arrest him, but most likely they would just tell him, go home, big boy, you're done. But, of course, the idea of a missionary is to do his work in such a way to where when you either die or have to go, that church is autonomous and it can take care of itself. Yeah. So even when you're gone, it will go. But missionary to China is a rare thing and an exciting thing, so it might be good for you to be here Wednesday night and see what he has to say. We're going to Luke in chapter 14, if you'd like to go over there with me, Luke in chapter number 14. Now, next week, we have No Excuse Sunday, but the title of my message today is Excuses. Excuses. And this is actually the verses that kind of deal with that in the Bible more than any other. There are some others. This is the parable of the Great Supper. And Luke in chapter number 14, we're going to begin reading in verse number 16, if you want to stand with me. Verse number 16. And it says, "Then said he unto him," excuse me, "then said he unto him," let me jump back up to 15 so you know who he's talking to, okay? "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he, Jesus, unto him," the one that sat with him at meat, "A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." That's really a good reason not to come. "So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Verse number 24 says, For I say unto thee, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come before you this morning, God, and just asking first for your power, for that Holy Spirit encouragement, empowerment that will make this message what it ought to be, because we realize that without you, we don't have anything to say. God, I pray that you'd bless these that have come. God, might they have a special day today in the house of the Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Cody, when are you going to the Army?
Tomorrow.
You guys recognize Cody's going to the Army? He's going to be one of our protectors. He's going to be the guy that beats up the football player that won't stand up. Yeah. Yeah, that's who he's going to be. And I'm going to be his cheer team, saying, get him, man, get him. Yeah. But anyway, good to have you here this morning. And your family, praise God, good to have Steve and Terry. And that's good. Excuses. We're going to talk about excuses. But Cody caught my eye. I saw him come in and thought about it, but then, I lost it for a minute. I don't know how I could do that. My mind, it's like a steel trap. Things go in, they never come out. Oh, invitations are a good thing to get, aren't they? You like getting an invitation? If you hear any complaint about an invitation, is they didn't even invite me. Yeah. It's not, oh, I got this invitation. I just hate being invited to weddings. I just hate being invited to parties. I just hate being invited to get. Nah, it's they didn't even invite me. Yeah. So if we're not invited, we get hurt. But this parable is the other side of the coin. This parable is about the people who are invited making excuses why they can't come, and at the last minute, the house is empty. How would you like to have a wedding shower, and come wedding shower time, two or three people showed up? That'd be a little disappointing, wouldn't it? A baby shower and just a couple of people show up, that'd be a little disappointing. Sometimes you have things like weddings and things, and you'd be talking to the groom and the bride ahead of time, and they'll talk about the hundreds of invitations that they sent out, and you get together into the church and you got, 20 or 30, maybe 40 people there. And you can see the disappointment. You can realize that they invited all of their friends, all of their relatives. They wanted so much for this to be a great day, but the day wasn't all that it should have been. And that's what this parable is about. This parable is about a man who had a great supper. Now, we think that he's the Lord over the area. And before he has his great supper, he gets all prepared by sending out invitations. And he sends invitations to everybody that could possibly come to be in his great feast that he's putting together. And he's wanting to have a good time with his people. He's wanting to do something for them, something that'll be a blessing to them, something that'll really be encouragement to them. And he's wanting to be able to fellowship with them, have a good time together with them. And so he's said, you can almost see him in his mind as he's preparing all of this thing. He says, I think I'll just send out invitations to everybody I know in the land and just invite them to a feast. And we'll prepare a great feast, and we'll fix, steak and taters and corn on a cob, and we'll have pies and cake, and we'll have sweet tea, and for those of us that are plain old planos, we'll even have some regular tea. We'll have such a good time together. We're just gonna. It's kind of like the potluck we're going to have after church next Sunday, you know. I mean, it's just going to be a great time together, a good feast. There's always food, and people always just have a good time. And so we're just going to make this a great day, the Lord says, and in his mind. And you can see him sending out these invitations, and he's sending them to everybody he can think of, everybody on his mailing list, you know. And so he sends them out. And now it comes time for the supper and the landlord, the Lord here, he says, well, I need to get the people in. I need to gather the people in. And so he tells his servants, he says, go out and get them. Now that might help on No Excuse Sunday, Brother Destry, if we just go door to door to everybody we've invited and say, well, you know, I know it's 6 o'clock in the morning, but I got to visit the whole church. You know, I mean, we need you to be at the service this morning. And so anyway, he sends his servant out, and his servant goes, and the people begin to make excuses. Now remember, this is not written from the person who got invited's side. This is written from the person who did the inviting side. His servant came in, and he's somewhat down in the mouth. And the Lord says to him, says, well, they're on their way, huh? And he said, you know, I went to so-and-so, and he told me that he was busy. And I went to so-and-so, and he told me he just got married. And I went to so-and-so, and he said he had bought a piece of land, and he had to go out and look at it and make sure it was what it was supposed to be. And they're just not coming. And you can kind of see this landlord. The red begins to come up, you know. The anger. The Bible says here he was angry. Right. He was angry. The anger. Well, certainly he was angry. I mean, he's done this for the benefit of his people. He's put this together for the benefit of his people, and he's made all the preparations. I mean, he's done everything he knew to do to get this thing ready to go to where it'd just be a great feast. A great supper. But they're not coming. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Man, I mean, I've got enough steak here for an army. I've got more baked potatoes than you can shake a stick at. You know, I got corn on the cob and all of the fixings, salads, and I mean, I just, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And he looked at his servant, and he said, listen, he said, I want you to go out there. He said, I want you to find the maimed and the halt and the blind. I want you to go out there to the homeless village and find the homeless people. I want you to go down to the nursing home and find the people who can get up and get around. I want you to go and get anybody that you can possibly get, and I want you to gather them together. And so the servant goes out again, and he goes to the homeless village, and he goes to the nursing home, and he goes and of what he can gather together, he comes back, and he looks into the banquet hall, and he says, man, he says, still not full. And he tells his Lord, he says, it's still not full. And he says, go again. He said, I want you to go into the highways and the hedges. I want you to find the transit that's coming through. I want you to find the travelers. I want you to go to the motels. I want you to go back into the bush area, back into the places outside the city limits, into the bush area. I want you to gather everybody that you can gather together. Because my banquet hall needs to be full. Might I say, in that accord, to every Sunday is no excuse Sunday in the house of God. Amen. Every week God prepares for us. Amen. Every week God works and prepares and gets a spiritual feast ready, something that would be beneficial to us, something that would be a blessing to us, something that just be something that would help us and encourage us, and something that would help us through our week. And he's given us the invitation. As a matter of fact, his invitation is more than an invitation. It's a command when he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so he's given the command, the invitation out, but yet we come back with our excuses. Excuses. It's a great supper. The preparations are made. The invitations are sent out. Look in verse 17 there. And he sent his servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come. For all things are now ready. Now there's three very important words here. The first word is come. Come. The first word is I want you to be there. Come. The second important word is the word all. All things. All things. Everything. I mean the banquet room is set up and decorated and ready to go. The banquet is cooked and prepared and ready to feed. And all things are ready is the third important word. They're ready right now. And might I tell you, for the great supper that we're going to have at the end time, all things are ready for that now too. Jesus Christ could come today with no apology for not fulfilling anything in the Word of God that makes it ready for Him to come now. And He could come today. He said, all things are ready. Come, come. Very important words. We think of the lost people, you know. When they're invited to Christ, they're not asked to bring anything or to do something special. They're just asked to come. Come. You know, religion tells us go and do, but Christ says come. Come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. The word come is an imperative mood, which means it's a command. It's a command that's given. It's for now. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in an accepted time, and in a day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And God's banquet is not going to wait on anybody. It's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. And there will be no excuses. But the excuses come here. We call them the big three. The big three. Some people have places to go. You know, I bought a piece of land. I got to go. We're going to Disneyland, or or fishing or on an outing, or I mean, we got places to go, things to do. Somebody else says that they have things to do. They have positions or lifestyles or jobs or hobbies. They've got prior commitments. They've got things to do. The second guy here, he said, I bought some oxen and I got to work them out. I got to prove them. I got to try them out. And so Sunday's my day to do those things I need to do, because other days I have to earn money. Some people have people to be with. This guy says, I married a wife, and I got to be with my wife. You know, let me tell you something. You get you a wife, the best place to be with her is in the house of God. That'll help you a lot. It'll help her a lot. It'll help your marriage a lot. And it'll help the house of God too. So just a little hint in case you're wondering. They make excuses. The real reason, you know, they didn't reject the invitations of God because they were going to do bad things. They rejected them because they were satisfied with second best. I think they rejected the invitations because, number one, they didn't realize how badly they needed to be there. Listen, when Christ gives his final invitation, if you're not there, you will never be there.
That's right.
You will never be there. Because when he says, come up hither, if you don't go up thither, then you're staying here until you're destroyed and sent eternally into the fires of hell. And they had no idea how important. Listen, as you study the scriptures, you find that one guy decided after everything was said and done that he'd go ahead and go, but he didn't have a wedding garment. This is another similar parable on this. Didn't have a wedding garment, and they cast him out. The Bible says in the last time they'll be saying, but Lord, we did many mighty works in your name. And the Lord will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Depart from me. When God gives the invitation, that may be your last opportunity to ever receive that invitation. When God moves on your spirit that He wants you to come and get saved, or come and surrender your life, come and give yourself, come and get involved, come whatever God wants you to do, when God gives you that invitation, you're on borrowed time. It may be your last invitation. It may be the last time that he'll give that to you. And so we see he sends here to him, and he tells them to come to the wedding, but they begin to make excuses and say, I can't go. The Bible says they all with one consent. That's how preachers feel in the church. Everybody with one consent said, we're not going this week. Last week was one of those weeks. They all have different excuses, but it comes up to the same thing. And so the servant comes and shows those things to the Lord, and the master of the house being angry. Now, he'd done everything he could to make it possible for them to come. And he'd given them an invitation, an early invitation, so that they'd know. You know, we're having a feast Friday night, you know, September the, whatever the next Friday's going to be. We're having a feast, but they made excuses. He'd prepared everything. He had not only had he made the feast and prepared the tables and prepared the food, he actually sent the bus after him. I mean, he sent the servant out and said, come. He actually sent the bus after him. Let me tell you about overcoming excuses on No Excuse Sunday. Like this master, we try to make it possible for everybody to attend next Sunday so they won't have any excuses. We don't have it here today because I didn't want it to be a toy, but we'll have a blow-up mattress. I couldn't find a cot. I was going to just use a cot, but I couldn't find a cot. So we'll have a blow-up mattress here next week for those who say Sunday's the only day they have to nap or to sleep in. We'll have some murine for your eyes if you're too tired from watching TV last night, you know, and so we'll have something to help you out with that. We have here some steel helmets for those who say, you know, if I showed up, the roof would fall in, and so we're gonna help you out with that. We're gonna have some steel helmets for that for your benefit. We have blankets for those who say that the church is too cold. We've got you some blankets here, and you can wrap up and you say, well, man, it's not too cold in here, preacher. It's too hot. That's why we got the fans. For those who say it's too hot, we got the fans. We have hearing devices for those who say the preacher preaches too quiet. Yeah, there's those. We have earplugs for those who say he shouts too much. Let's see here what else we're going to have. We have scorecards for those who like to count the hypocrites and stuff, you know. A nice little scorecard here. It says, number one, the preaching's too loud. The preaching's too soft. The preacher ran around too much. The preacher was tied to the pulpit. The church was too cold. The church was too hot. The church was too noisy. The church was too quiet. That means nobody says amen, in case you're wondering. The music was too slow, or the music was too fast, or I didn't know the song, or we've never done it that way before. You know? And then finally it says, I saw, and there's a blank there for hypocrites in church. Huh? And so we got a scorecard for those that like to keep a score and make sure everything's ready for that. We're going to have some relatives here for those who just like to visit relatives on Sunday. We're going to have potluck afterwards. You can visit with all the relatives you want. You know, if you're born again, we're all brothers and sisters. And so we have relatives right here. You don't have to go anywhere else to get them. One section is devoted to greenery for those who like to worship the Lord in nature. So we have a section for them. And then finally, we have a section of the sanctuary over here that's decorated with both Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies. For those who have never seen the church any other way, you know. I mean, what are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to say it's No Excuse Sunday next week. We're trying to take away all of the excuses to do what we can to make it where anybody can come. You visit your friends and you say, well, you come. They say, oh, man, I always stay up too late on Saturday. Oh, we've got a remedy for that there. Well, you know, I come in, I get up late, and I'm hungry. I can't get everything done and be there. We're going to have donuts and coffee out here in the little that little table we put up out there in the foyer, and so you can come in if you're early enough to get some. You can come in and have some donuts and coffee. If they're all gone, you should have got up a little bit earlier. What can I say? I mean, no matter what excuses they try to make, we've tried to take care of that. And it's all in fun. But it makes a statement that the reason the church house is not full every week is because we make excuses. Excuses. We use the big three. You know, we've got things to do, people to see, things we got to check out. We use the same big three. Now comes our Great Commission in verse 21 to 23, where he says, "So the servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house became angry. And he said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind.'" And so he opened the marching doors here. Just because people rejected the invitation doesn't mean to just forget it. You know, well, we're just not going to have a good feast. We're just not going to have a full house. No, he said, don't stop there. If the people that you invite have excuses, then he says, go out and invite, man, go down to the homeless area and load your car up, bring them in. Listen, we're having a potluck afterwards. It'll be a blessing to them. Go down to the nursing home and get you a couple of wheelchairs and push some people out and get them into the house of God for the things of God. I mean, we're talking about the excuses that they make, and he says, I want you to go in and get the poor and the halt and the blind and the lame, and he says, I want you to bring them into my house so that my house will be full, and you can see the steam blowing off of this landlord's head. So the servant, he takes off like a wild man, getting everybody he can, but when he comes back, he still doesn't have enough. And the master says then, in verse number 23, the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Now, if you understand that word, is what he's saying. He's saying, go out and beg people. Yeah. Lose your dignity. Lose your highfalutin idea of who you are. And go out into the highways and hedges and beg people. Yeah. Please come with me to the house of God. Please be in the house of God with me. Please. The Lord has some great things prepared. And he wants his house full. He wants people to be there. He wants it to be a great feast, a great day. He wants to be thrilled as he steps into the banquet hall to be a blessing to his people. He wants to be thrilled with what he sees. The primary invitations are rejected, but he says, go into the streets and the lanes and get them all. Get them all. That brings us then to the great condemnation, verse number 24. Because in verse number 24, he said, I say unto you that none of those which were bidden shall taste. Now, folks, let me say this. Lord willing, next Sunday won't be yours or their last Sunday ever to be able to be in the house of God. But it very well could be. It very well could be. And the Lord says, none of those who are invited and reject the invitation will come. To the lost person, he says, I've given you the invitation of Christ that says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That says, if you'll come unto me, I would in no wise cast you out. And he says to that lost person, he says, come. But he says to that lost person, behold, now is the time of salvation. Today is the day. And there's no other guarantees after this. And when those who hear the word of God and refuse the word of God, oh, they think maybe it'll come again later, some other time they could do it. I've got plenty of time. There's a song that says that, plenty of time. I got plenty of time, and I could. But then the Lord comes, and time is out. And the Bible says, those who received an invitation will be made to believe a lie that they won't receive the Lord, and they'll spend an eternity in hell. The sad part is they got the invitation. They were invited. They were not just invited, they were implored. Not only were they invited and implored, he sent the servant after him at the last minute and said, come, we're running out of time. This is it. Today's the day. The feast is on the table. But they didn't come. That's the condemnation. He said, none of those that were bidden. Let me give you the other side that's not actually written in words but is still true. The poor and the lamed and the halt and those in the highways and the hedges that had been invited because those others refused to come, they were there for the supper. You go out this week and you invite your friends. You invite the poor and the halt and the needy. You invite people to come to the house of God. And some others won't make it because they'll have excuses. And they'll miss the blessing. Amen. But those who come, they got the feast, right? They got the feast. They got the blessing of the Master. And in conclusion of the whole thing, they got eternal life. Amen. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Next Sunday is no excuse Sunday. But might I say to you, God gives an invitation to you this Sunday, today. This is a feast of the Lord. This is a time of the Lord. It's not the special Sunday that we're trying to make a big deal out of, but it is a day of invitation. It's a day when the Lord says to you, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and the truth of the matter is your life has been riddled by sin and wickedness and filth, and you realize that if you die that way, you're going to split hell wide open. But today you could come and God says to you, come unto me. And when you come to him, he's going to open his heart and allow you in. He's going to come into your heart and be your Savior. And you can get up from the services today and walk out the door knowing that you're born again. You're a child of God. You're on your way to heaven. At the great feast, you'll be there. You could do that today. Today. Christians, God may have been dealing with your heart and the fact that just being a spectator Christian is not enough. You ought to get involved. Some things you ought to do. You know, I mean, we got a lot of jobs coming open that need somebody to help, somebody to step in. And you could step in and take those positions. But you have to come and surrender, don't you? You see, we live in a world nowadays of non-commitment. Non-commitment. And we get comfortable in non-commitment in the fact that if I don't commit myself to anything, then I can just do what I want to do. But we live to a committed God who committed himself to you. and ask you to commit yourself to Him. And you say, but, no excuses. When you stand before Him, you give an account. No excuses. How about you today, Christian? Lost person? If Christ comes back before No Excuse Sunday, how are you going to do? Let's stand together. Maybe today God's talking to your heart. You may be here today, and the truth of the matter is, you know that you've never actually been born again. You've never been saved. Oh, you may have some religious background, and maybe you've been baptized somewhere or something, but the truth of the matter is, the Spirit of God doesn't live inside you. And the Bible says if the Spirit of God doesn't live inside you, you're none of His. And today you could come and trust Him as your personal Savior. Today He could become the master of your life. Today He could. If you'd come. Christian. Well, you know what God wants you to do. Miss McKinley is going to play for us. And we're going to open our altars for an invitation. And we're going to encourage you to come. Come. Be a part. Our Heavenly Father, God, please. God, I pray for the lost man or woman that's here today that they might understand their need of salvation. And though we didn't preach a lot on salvation today, God, most of us recognized way before we trusted Christ that we needed salvation. God, today could be their day. I pray you would help them to let go of all the excuses and come trust you today. God, for that Christian that has known that they need to be involved, help them, Lord. Help them to get involved. Help them to surrender to you today. God, we do pray for our No Excuse Sunday next week that even now you'd be placing in our heart the names of those people that we could invite. We ask it in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. You come. You come.